Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Got my mind set on you.
I got my mind set on you.
I got...
It's Christmas!
I could have been someone, but then so could anyone, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 12 Rambles of Christmas.
You cheap, lousy idiot.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Well edited.
Yeah.
Yes, it's number four in our countdown of the 12 Rambles of Christmas. We're in the top four, guys.
Mm. Wow.
Champions League.
These are all going to get Champions League Rambles of Christmas positions next season.
This one will have to play a qualifier, but it's still in there.
Well, it depends on what happens with the coefficient.
Yeah,
right.
The 12 Rambles of Christmas coefficient.
That's true. What are the other podcasts doing?
I don't know. Don't listen to them, mate.
No.
Uh-huh. Why would you?
But why would you?
We can confirm, as is the way now, that number four in the countdown has nothing to do with Arsenal. So they've missed out again, Jim. They've missed out again. But this is, of course, our daily countdown. And what we see is the 12 defining topics in football since we began the Football Ramble back in 2007, straight after David Nugent scored that goal for England.
Mm. Yes.
And birthed us.
Today.
The Archduke Franz Ferdinand trigger event at the Football Ramble.
Yes, it was indeed, Luke Moore.
Gavrilo Princip.
He was the one
who threw the grenade.
Yeah, apparently so, yeah. Ah. Good remember. Everyone remembers Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Yep.
Not everyone remembers Princip, so very, very well done.
Talk about the Treaty of Rapallo.
No.
Okay.
We haven't got time. That might be number three.
I mean, they're all... I mean, there's a lot of...
Is that
Swiss...
after 2007?
There's a lot of very kind of like Swiss-based treaties happening in this one.
There is, Peter.
Ooh. Hashtag spoiler alert.
Oh.
Although you've already downloaded it, so you've seen the title, so it's not
spoiler. Good today, point. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a particularly enjoyable one. Justice was done. It's the demise of Sepp Blatter and FIFA. Come on! Oh,
do you remember how much we loved this,
Jim,
when it happened?
I still do.
To paraphrase it, this is a bizarre.
Very, very much so. Because none of us thought this would happen, did we?
No.
I don't think. And I think I speak for all football fans when I say that.
Yes.
You always speak for all football fans.
Thank you, mate.
Whenever you open your damn mouth.
Mm-hmm. And it is damned, but less about that.
But I think we all, before you go into your intro, Marcus, I think just to follow up on Jim's point, I think there was a feeling around that it was frustration, but it was... Yeah, this is just always going to be the case. Yes. We're not going to get anywhere with this. There's going to be no progress made at all.
Completely. It was just
they're not going to get so complacent they slip up.
No.
There's so much money sloshing around. Surely they'll be motivated to keep themselves clean.
Yeah. Mm,
you would have thought that, Jim, but then in 2015, something quite wonderful happened.
The Feds.
Yes. Yeah. FIFA and
America.
Team America turned up. FIFA and their dodgy dealing came under the spotlight in a way we'd never seen before.
Don't do your stuff in dollars. This wouldn't happen.
Exactly. What currency would you do? Would you do it in, Pete?
The Kenyan shilling.
There we go.
Good one. Mm.
Do you not use yen?
Maybe.
He only uses yen.
Pretty solid.
And Dogecoin.
Dogecoin.
Was that one, Pete? Was that one?
Yeah, Dogecoin is a real cryptocurrency.
So it's an unlovable Bitcoin derivative.
I'd use the Brixton pound.
Would you? Yeah. There you go. Very limited. Where are you available to meet? Well,
Electric Avenue.
The problem with that.
FIFA house opening up on Electric Avenue.
Do you know the 432 bus?
That's what I'd be all about. But anyway, but we should say, as a lot of football fans did, but we always had a lot of contempt for FIFA and Sepp Blatter on the ramble for many, many a year.
I think Pete will pull me up on this because he's absolutely allergic to taking praise and delivering it on behalf of oneself. But we were on the FIFA our wankers train very, very early on. Very early on.
I would take that.
Yeah, we were. Yeah,
I joined the show, you were going on about it.
Yeah, it's a highly visible train, but not everybody was on board.
It's practically a flying train from Back to the Future 3.
The only reason I'm blowing the Tony Mowbray saxophone on this particular point is because it's de rigueur now. Everyone knows that FIFA are corrupt, blah, blah, blah.
And we invented that.
Yeah, and it was us who did all that fine work.
Yep.
which we lent to Andrew Jenner. that's not true.
He just listened to the show and picked it all up. We didn't have any contact with him.
Indeed, absolutely. But yes, of course, we did name drop Andrew Jennings an awful lot on the ramble over the years.
And he's done a special with us, of course.
He has done a special.
Telling his very, very fascinating story about he wrote a book called Foul, of course, back in the day.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Piece of trash, as Jack Warner called it.
Exactly. Talking about the goings-on at FIFA. He's an investigative journalist who has a bit of a bee in his bonnet, shall we say, about this sort of thing.
Very much so, very much so.
But isn't it sort of heartening that he got his time?
He deserved that.
Because he'd been banging at that for such a long time. Well, with glee and gusto. Oh. And the glee and gusto when it actually went down. Oh.
Yeah. Well, we will come on to the more specifics of that, but you're absolutely right. It was glorious.
Smash into it, Marcus. Let's get started.
Here we go then. Sepp Blatter, he was president for FIFA the vast majority of time we've been recording, having succeeded João Havelange in 1998. Sepp succeeded him at the age of 62. Plenty in the tank. Look how old the president of the US is. He was president for 17 years. Havelange was president from 1974 to 1998. And now Havelange expanded the World Cup, made the game more global, and he was given the title of FIFA honorary president. Now Havelange, again, we'll come to him in a bit. But Sepp was the main man at FIFA House, the headquarters, of course, in Zurich of FIFA. Have you ever seen a photo of FIFA House? It's a very interesting complex, and there's all sorts of things there. The main building has two upper levels and five underground levels, which means two-thirds of the headquarters lie underground, which I think is very fitting.
I love it. It's a perfect metaphor, because on the face of it, it's purely transparent, but there's more than meets the eye.
the
like
depths.
Actual underground lair.
Going on in the depths of the earth. Well, Blatter said of this, places where people make decisions should only contain indirect light, because the light should come from the people themselves who were assembled there.
I mean, direct light burns my reptilian skin.
I mean, that's bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a stretch. Yeah.
Well, that's what you've written on your energy bill. Yeah, we didn't use any lights. It was the light from within. You're still paying it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, throughout our time during the ramble, various accusations, investigations, bans and fines surrounding FIFA and their delegates. When Russia and Qatar were awarded the 2018 2022 World Cups, it became too obvious.
So are you saying that was the big sort of tipping point? Well, that was announced.
Yeah, PR purposes, I think it's fair to say.
Absolutely.
But I mean,
that's when even the sponsors started going, hang on a minute here.
Even the sponsors and even Sepp Blatter.
Yes,
Sepp Blatter
yes.
felt this is a stretch too far, and they had got complacent. One of the red flags in the investigation leading up to all this was that Chuck Blazer didn't file a personal income tax return.
Right,
I mean, that is, how complacent had they got?
It's absolutely ridiculous. Well, around that time as well, that was the first time the British media started going big on him in 2010. BBC's Panorama documentary called Dirty Secrets aired a few days before the result of the bidding process for 2018 and 2022. And people in this country, in Great Britain, criticised Panorama, saying that it would harm England's bid for the World Cup. And if you remember that a lot of people in England distanced themselves from the documentary, David Cameron, David Beckham and Prince William went over to FIFA House in Switzerland in the aftermath of the documentary to try and get some votes for the World Cup and all that kind of stuff, which, well, I don't know, even looking back on it, it just seemed all a bit pathetic.
That's like the closest Britain could do to putting together the Avengers. Do you know what I mean?
They
just threw everything at it.
And I think looking back and knowing what we know now, I think the problem is that national federations and even the England, who are despite theirs, they are sort of treated a little bit with derision by a lot of other nations, I think, because of our manner and our history and all the rest of it. But we are still quite a powerful football association.
Mm, yeah.
I think even the most powerful local football or national football associations are reluctant even now to make that move away from FIFA, and they'd much rather be at the devil's side than in his path, as we saw with that bid.
But
looking back on it, you're right, it looks pathetic.
But that is absolutely spot on, Luke.
Because a lot of those guys knew what was happening.
The FA were a bit like, no, we've got nothing to do with the panorama, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, when they didn't get the World Cup, because basically they wanted the World Cup, and it doesn't matter what's going on, we want the World Cup. When it didn't go, they were like, well, hang on a minute. And Sepp Blatter was saying, well, you're accusing England of sour grapes. And in one sense, he was right. But in another sense, at least the FA had sort of started to wake up, or at least admit what was going on. In 2011, Blatter did a press conference at FIFA House ahead of the FIFA presidential vote. He'd just been cleared of any wrongdoing by the FIFA Ethics Committee's investigation into corruption. But in that investigation, Mohammed bin Hamam, the man who it had been suggested bought the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, had been suspended, and Jack Warner had been suspended as well, which was a personal, it was a pleasing one for the football round, because we'd quoted Jack Warner many times. I mean, he's a horrible man.
Yeah.
You know, some of the FIFA delegates, you just think, oh, they're a bit buffoonish and a bit silly. And obviously, all that kind of criminal activity is not what we want, but Warner is particularly nasty.
Yeah, I mean, there are videos of Andrew Jennings approaching him and trying to get, you know, just quotes about certain things from him. And there's one where he says something like, what Warner says, if I could spit on you, I would.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really pernicious, nasty stuff.
My mouth is very dry.
Yeah, well, he called him a piece of white trash as well.
Yeah.
And Andrew Jennings on the special, when I interviewed him, said to me, it was quite funny, he spoke about Jack Warner. He went, well, he's just uncultured, isn't he? And then he said with Jack Warner would lean into Jennings to like whisper these things to him, like if I could spit on you, I would, and so on. And he would, but he didn't realise I'm wearing a microphone. So the more he leaned in, the more.
Spit on you, but it would ruin that microphone.
Yeah. Well, do you remember? This is the same man that thought an article from The Onion was
that's
real,
right.
And then sort of posted a video riposte.
Well, on the people involved in this, you've got to remember as well, just in case we're trying to sort. It feels like we're not owning up. Jeff Thompson, who is the FA representative, he also voted for Russia.
He did.
He voted for Russia as well. So
that's right.
You have to understand, in the context of England, you know, trying to get the bid, you have to. You surely have to come to the conclusion that our representative knew what was going on.
They were pretty complicit up until they lost the bid.
Yeah, exactly.
You either play the game or you don't. But don't pretend you're holier than thou, because you're not.
Exactly.
Like, by you know, taking part in this kind of bidding system, you are part of the problem. And if you, you know, that's how business gets done halfway around the world. So we sort of think, oh, we're better than this.
Yeah. Well, in that press conference ahead of the presidential vote at FIFA, this is when the British media went in a bit more on Sepp Blatter. They turned up at FIFA House, and during the press conference, Blatter was getting asked pressing questions from journalists. Didn't like it, and because he'd always been treated by like royalty.
Yeah.
I mean, Blatter once said, "I'm the only man in the world who can arrive in any country with no protocol and be received by the head of state." He absolutely loved it, and then the journalists started getting wind of this. They turned up at FIFA House. Andrew Jennings was the only one who was banned, so he couldn't get in. So he'd ask people to ask certain questions on his behalf, and the German journalists were very good as well. And they went in, and Blatter did not like it.
No, well, I mean, his attitude wasn't, I haven't done anything wrong. It was, I can do no wrong.
Yeah.
So by the very nature, anything I've done is fine.
And too big to fail, FIFA.
Yeah.
And I remember being pleased that this was starting to happen, because you know, we know what the press are like in the UK. The tabloid press particularly, if they get the bit between their teeth and they want to dig something out, they'll dig it out. And it's about time they were turning their attention towards that. Because not only because I've got a personal interest in football, but because it's a huge story.
Absolutely.
I mean, if these types of journalists, same way Andrew Jennings has proven himself to be, if they live and die on these huge exclusives and these big unveilings, these big investigative like pieces of work, get after him, because that's a fantastic scalp.
Absolutely.
And it was all there for the taking, as we saw.
And one German journalist asked him a particularly pressing question, and that's when Blatter said, "We are not in a bazaar, we're in FIFA House."
Yeah.
He didn't like it that somebody was questioning Lord Blatter.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely, but only within FIFA House was there that sort of cultish kind of respect towards it. And again, that's exactly, he was starting to see the cracks in that.
But the point is, I suppose, Jim, is that it's true what they say. I mean, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. They weren't beholden to anyone other than themselves, which is why it would have taken someone like the FBI to chip in and get involved.
Totally, it needed somebody completely disconnected from it all. Well, Blatter won the election by a landslide.
as he was the only candidate.
Yeah.
And he said, I thank you for your trust and confidence. And we're like, well, you...
it's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah. Who could we vote for?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then he said, we will put FIFA's shit back on the right course in clear, transparent waters. He would just come out with this shit.
Yeah.
And he would it didn't mean anything.
Then he would hire his own person to investigate and the whole charade would continue.
Exactly. But he was so popular, as you said a moment ago, Luke. He was so popular with so many FAs around
because
the world.
Because the turkeys don't vote for Christmas.
Well, they don't. Yeah. And to be fair to Avalanche before and Blatter, they'd made the game more global. They'd taken the game to some of these countries and who were getting a little bit of a taste of it that they hadn't done previously. Yeah. Now, the world was a bit different then, not that anybody's justifying any of that and so on. But you can understand why some FAs did that. But you can't let this thing go on. You know, it was it's wrong what was going on. In 2013, FIFA published a long-awaited report into the corruption investigation, into the corruption at the top of the organisation. And this led to the resignation of Joao Havelange, who was 96 at the time, who would no longer have the title of FIFA honorary president. Now, that was seen as a little victory for a lot of people.
Convenient, FIFA dishonored president now, isn't it, officially?
Yeah. He's dead anyway. But it's the idea, though, that could be a little victory for people. But that's looking back on that absolutely suits FIFA. Well, this 96-year-old guy who's got an honorary role, who probably day-to-day isn't really involved, if we chuck him under the bus, we can crack on with our stuff.
No, and that's true. That is true. But it was good that he had the dishonor from all the stuff that he did.
And just so we're clear on what we're talking about here, when we keep referencing corruption, what we're talking about is essentially bribery for votes to host tournaments and preferential treatment of media rights.
And TV deals.
And TV deals to, as I said, preferred companies that would also benefit the people making the decisions. That's essentially what we're talking about.
Well, Jennings, you know, in that interview, and he said it many, many times before, he said, let's be clear, they are organised crime. You know, it's gangster stuff, it's cartel sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we long said on the podcast when we were talking about things like this, how come Interpol aren't involved in this sort of thing? Because it's such a global thing. And the FBI turning up because of the, you know, because of the deals being made in dollars was I guess that, wasn't it?
It was incredible, yeah. I mean, in that same report, the one in 2013, Blatter was found not guilty of any misconduct but was branded as clumsy in his handling of the case. And then he faced more calls to resign after the corruption at the heart of FIFA was exposed by his own ethics committee and so on and so forth. He didn't. He would wait to be pushed rather than jump of his own accord. And my goodness, he got a push. We're going to talk about that after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It's not all about running and doing this and doing that. It's all about
Advent.
And it's all about this as well. Luke Moore.
Yeah, we've had some great suggestions so far for our 12 Rambles of Christmas addendum, if you like. People listening at home's suggestions. And if we choose yours, we will have it recorded at some point in the new year. But more importantly, I suppose, for you, you'll win a Toshiba 55-inch 4K TV. We're currently right in the mix-up with glorifying Sepp Blatter and FIFA's downfall.
Yep.
Chiefly Sepp Blatter's downfall, because FIFA's still going. But we'd love you to get in touch with yours, so do so at show@thefootballramble.com. Toshiba offers you the chance to watch every football match in 4K picture clarity, thanks to the TV's pinpoint sharp resolution. No detail, no flick or kick of the ball will ever, ever, ever be missed.
Damn right.
Enjoy 24/7 access to a whole world of online content, including catch-up TV and on-demand services such as Netflix. With this TV, you can also access last week's show on demand with Freeview Play. For an authentic audio experience, can anyone have a guess at what it comes with?
Oh, a subwoofer?
A subwoofer.
To project
that damn bass sound. Don't just hear, but feel the roar of the crowd. So for your chance to win, do email in with your favourite moment from 2007 onwards to show@thefootballramble.com. Pete has some ideas to help you out.
How about Sepp Blatter himself saying, thank you for your question, lady?
Yeah, good one.
Covered by this one.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, I didn't think anyone was going to mention it.
Louis Van Halen, the saxophone lady.
All right.
Always nice to revisit. Both those things.
That's a good one. Should we talk about Chuck Blazer for a moment?
Mm. Yeah.
So Chuck Blazer was the first domino to fall, shall we say?
I think so.
Because before the break, you mentioned about Blatter waiting until he was pushed.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, he resigned mysteriously just days after winning another vote in 2015.
Yeah, but it was pageantry, wasn't it? He wanted to prove that he could win that vote, even though he was again the only candidate.
And then he wasn't the only candidate.
He
was against someone else who I think pulled out.
Right.
After the first round of voting.
It was Prince from Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, but again, that shows you the kind of the bubble that he lived in.
Mm. Well, the bubble obviously burst, of course, but in 2013, Chuck Blazer...
I live in that, he said. Damn it.
Blazer pleaded guilty to a number of charges, including tax evasion, money laundering, racketeering and fraud. All the best ones, eh? My goodness. He'd already been working with the FBI wearing a wire, helping them gather evidence. I mean, this should be the FIFA film.
Yeah.
Not that bloody awful one that Tim Roth did.
Will he reprise his role?
United Passions.
Yeah.
Music part is proper name.
I watched that.
Is it? Oh yeah, Pete, you actually watched it. Talk us through it, because it's part of the story.
It was beautifully shot.
Well, you think so for the budget.
Gerard Depardieu?
Yeah.
Was in it, I think.
He's Chuck Blazer.
Tim Roth was
Tim
Blatter,
Roth was Blatter,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
What's your favourite fact about the Chuck Blazer incident?
Chuck Blazer, it was not a fact, it's a quote, about Chuck Blazer. He was the embodiment of a FIFA delegate, lest we forget, ladies and gentlemen. Now, he's no longer with us, Chuck Blazer, but we can still enjoy this quote that someone wrote about him. Blazer came to inhabit a world of private jets, famous friends, secret island getaways, offshore bank accounts, and so much fine food and drink that he eventually needed a fleet of mobility scooters to move from feast to feast.
That's living.
That is living. Apparently when the FBI nicked him, He was on one of the scooters and tried to get away from them. They were like, oh, come on, pal. Get back here. But in 2015, with the evidence gathered by the FBI themselves, Andrew Jennings' research coming to fruition, of course, and Chuck Blazer, you know, being a turncoat and so on, all hell broke loose at FIFA House.
And it is also...
Tanks on the lawn at last.
Fucker, doodle-doo. It is to me, fascinating, based on what you guys have just pointed out, Blatter getting the winning the vote in the 65th FIFA Congress against Ali bin Hussein, as you were talking about earlier. Mm. His quote after he won the election, just before he resigned. Now, you guys said earlier he knew what he was going to do. He wanted to prove he could win it, then he would resign.
Because this happened 2 days, I think, before the vote.
Yeah. His quote after he won it, again, was, I am the president now, the president of everybody. I take the responsibility to bring FIFA back where it should be. Yeah. Let's go FIFA. Let's go FIFA.
Bloody oh, so you try to do a little bit of
absolutely
sloganry.
Yeah, it's like delusion.
Let's go FIFA.
Yeah.
Let's go FIFA.
Yeah.
Around about that time, Manuel Nascimento Lopez, the president of the Guinea-Bissau football organisation, said, I'm a Christian and this is blasphemy. Mr. Blatter will be voted for by Africa.
Right.
Well, there you go. You're not a Christian because you think Sepp's God.
Yeah.
You know, so you're wrong. You're... even your theology is corrupt.
False prophet.
Indeed.
And not those type of prophet.
Yeah. It's blimey. A surplus, mate.
Yeah, surplus. False surpluses.
A hander in the cookie surplus.
Yes. My goodness. Yeah. Andrew Jennings actually talked to the FBI way back in 2009. And I loved when Jennings said, suddenly I had people who carry guns agreeing with me.
Yeah, I like that.
Wonderful
yeah.
quote. Yeah. Wonderful
Can
quote.
He run FIFA now? Can Jennings run FIFA? Imagine it.
He wouldn't
He's
want
a loose
to.
Cannon. He's, a loose, he's mad. But I love that guy.
He wouldn't want to, though. That's the beautiful thing. He's just there to get the baddies, you know. But Jennings had been investigating FIFA 15 years up to that point. And then on the 27th of May 2015, around 12 plainclothed officers turned up to a hotel where the delegates had been staying and arrested a number of them on behalf of the US authorities after an FBI investigation that had been underway for years. 14 officials were charged. Mm. Just absolutely incredible.
Felt like a movie, didn't it, when all this stuff was unfolding?
It really did. And it should be, Jim.
I'm
it
sure
should
it will be.
The US Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, said they were expected to uphold the rules that kept soccer honest. Instead, they corrupted the business of worldwide soccer to serve their interest and enrich themselves. Spot on. Swiss federal prosecutors opened criminal proceedings too. Jack Warner, one of the FIFA former officials, of course, was to be charged. He denied everything.
Yeah,
which is wonderful. Andrew Jennings described Jack Warner as the most corrupt operator I've encountered in a lifetime of chasing lowlifes in places such as Scotland Yard and the International Olympic Committee.
Yeah, and the IOC aren't exactly sort of
my goodness.
Either.
Well, that's where Jennings started when he turned to sport, was the IOC, and then of course FIFA.
But do you remember we're talking about the sort of, I guess, the second half of 2015 here? But do you remember when there was talk about a month after Blatter resigned, that he was actually reneging on his resignation. He was going to say, he was saying, "Oh no, I've not resigned. I've just placed
That's
my
right.
mandate in the hands of the Congress
Completely.
For now."
Yeah.
Because he was still deluding himself, almost like a. I suppose it's very, very similar to almost like a dictator. Isn't it?
Absolutely,
yeah. And completely
bottom.
Like
but
that.
But Trumpian, you could see in many
him,
ways.
You could see him falling apart, and it was actually very unpleasant to see.
Some of it was pleasant though.
But no,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
He's just a vulnerable old man.
Exactly. Yeah,
who's had all. It's like Emperor's New Clothes. He's had everything removed from him, and there's nothing there. But it did take. And apologies if you were going to come on to this. It did take a lot of the big sponsors to actually put pressure on as well. McDonald's and Coca-Cola and all those guys saying that, you know, you have to go now.
Yeah.
This is a joke. It's a laughing stock. We don't want to be associated with an organisation fronted by this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You have to go.
Going briefly back to Jack Warner. Now, he'd quit FIFA a few years before, of course. But this year, in 2017, he was due to be extradited to the US, but he appealed against it. It's still ongoing.
Yeah.
He's still digging his heels, Jack Warner, and whereas they have arrested a number of people, of course. That wonderful image, Peter, of Sepp Blatter being interrupted on one of his press conferences by English comedian Simon Brodkin throwing dollar bills at him will live long in the memory.
Yeah, I mean, will it? I don't know, I'd kind of disagree with that.
Peter, I don't know if people will remember the source, but they'll remember the image.
The reason why I say that is because you said at the time something like, you know, it just really captured everything.
Oh, yeah,
The photograph is amazing.
Covered in dollar bills.
Yeah, that
Peter doesn't like prank comedy, do you, Pete?
No, I don't.
No,
really,
that's why
I don't like people who
I said the image
diminish the working class.
No. But the image.
No, Peter, let me repeat the sentence. A wonderful image of Sepp Blatter at his press conference will live long in the memory.
Marcus, this is blasphemy.
I agree with you, Spelzy.
There we are. Sepp said that he'd step down when another election could be run to find a successor for him. So that was in amongst all this resignation nonsense and so on. He then said, all right, let's have another election and a new man will come in. And Michel Platini had long been touted as a FIFA president. He got dragged in as well.
Yep. That was to do with the payment, wasn't it?
It was to do with a naughty payment. Yeah. But it's so sad for a generation of football fans because that would be the equivalent of Zinedine Zidane in a number of years being caught out by all this nonsense, you know. And a number of these older players, like Franz Beckenbauer's another
one. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, to be fair, Zidane probably made enough money in his lifetime, so it's
fine. Still, but the point remains, though, that some people who would have seen Platini be one of the best players of their generation, you see him banned from all football activity along with Sepp for 6 years.
It was 8 years originally, but he appealed and it was cut to six. But it was Sepp also did one of the great apologies as well, which was, I am really sorry. And you think, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's good stuff.
I am sorry that I'm still a punching ball.
I'm sorry if I offended you.
I am, as president of FIFA, a punching ball. And I'm sorry for football.
Oh,
and I'm sorry for FIFA because I have never lost my mind.
How dare he? How dare he say that?
And it's important. this, I think that people, football fans who know about this will, I feel, be tempted to say the guy should be in jail. Right? Okay. Fine. That's absolutely fair enough. But I maintain the biggest punishment he could have was all this stuff taken away from him, because he is someone who would, that stage in his life, would be absolutely beholden to the power he's been able to wield,
absolutely,
to the privilege, to all the things that come along with being this hugely powerful character. Mm. And for that to be taken away from him, I feel, is the best punishment he could have. Because he defines himself by that. He identifies
with
it.
Do you not think with Sepp Blatter, though, is he kind of represents a generation, or just kind of like, he's the head of a multinational company, and that's kind of how deals are done. You know, business is dirty from the root to the bloody tip, and FIFA is just a really sexy example of a corrupt organisation. But organisations are corrupt all around the world. Look how much tax most bloody multinationals pay in the UK, for example. It's everyone's just backhandering everybody else in every situation.
Should they not have bothered then?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
You didn't want to be a part of this. You said so at the beginning.
Yeah. What did I say before we turned the mics on? I said, Pete is the closest thing to a FIFA delegate amongst us. He's defending them.
I'm just saying that big business is murky, and I think
Blatter probably
doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Oh, I think that's probably true.
Is that fair?
If that was your point, I think that's. I think
it's true, but it's not fair.
No, he absolutely doesn't think he's done anything wrong. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
But he has. On the other hand, he definitely has.
Yeah, that's the crucial point.
Probably has. Yeah, that is the crucial.
So I was personally, I was personally very, very happy with the punishment.
I was indeed. Yeah, and Pete, you mentioned about Andrew Jennings. You know, the interviews with Jennings. Loving it when those FIFA scandal headlines hit the
pages. It was his life's work.
It was glorious. He was stood outside FIFA House on the day it happened. He was straight over there saying, "Today is a day of righteous justice." He's got away with it for a bundle of reasons, but today the roof fell in. Behind us is FIFA House, and if you listen carefully, you might hear the sobbing.
Oh.
He loved it. And then in his final documentary, FIFA, Sepp Blatter and Me, Jennings ended the documentary sitting in his lounge, watching the TV, seeing the events unfold, and he turns to the camera and said, "See, I told you he was a crook." he loved it.
But in any other world, in any other discipline, he'd be treated like a kook, wouldn't he? Because he was so focused on one thing, and he was so charismatic with it. Mm.
Uh-huh. That's one of the tactics that powerful people will level at those types of investigative people. Oh, yeah, he's just a conspiracy theorist. He's just a cook.
Jennings does melt FIFA beans.
But when I interviewed him for the Football Ramble special, and it was great chatting to him, a genuine honour, left his house, and I said, you know, thank you for what you did. Mm. We're all indebted to him, obviously, you know, other people as well.
He should be world famous. I mean, this is the world's largest sport by a mile, and he has been the one banging the drum over and over again. And the reason this is important is because this goes to the very fabric of what football actually is. Mm. And if you leave it in the hands of these types of people, as we've done for so long, it comes back to bite you. And we're not out of the woods yet with this stuff. Mm, the reason we're doing this one, I suppose, is because it's funny and we banged the drum about Sepp and his pals for years and years. But this work isn't over.
Absolutely.
This stuff keeps rearing its head just purely because it's endemic. It goes to the very fabric of how they do stuff.
Yeah.
And it will be very, very difficult for them to change that without having a massive overhaul, which is something they don't want to do. But on the flip side, people like Blatter are out of the game, and given the age he is, unfortunately for him, he's never going to be back in it again, and that's important.
Absolutely. And whatever happens, you know, as you say, Pete, you rightly say about big businesses the way they are and so on, people will come through again and act in a certain way and da-di-da-di-da. But the fact is, these men, they had it good for so many years, but they got them. One or two will have fallen through the cracks inevitably and all the rest of it, but they got the main players, and that was a victory for football. Thank you very much for listening to number 4 of our 12 Rambles of Christmas, a daily countdown on what we see as the 12 defining topics in football since we began the Football Ramble back in 2007. Oh, that was an enjoyable one, wasn't it?
Don't forget to get in touch with yours on the show at thefootballramble.com and listen out for 3, 2 and 1, the latter of those three being released on Christmas Eve. And go back and listen to the old ones if you missed them, wherever you get your pods. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Indeed. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
This is not a bazaar.
Take it by Petey.
Thank you for your podcast, lady.
Sod off, Sepp.
It's Christmas!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.